Well, this morning, once again, as I said earlier, we're celebrating what's called All Saints in the church. All Saints is the day that comes right after Halloween, which would be November 1st, right? We're a little later than that. And a lot of people don't think about All Saints, and I'll tell you why. It's the day before everybody thinks about, right? Did you know that Halloween is now considered one of the top observed celebrations of Americans throughout the U.S.? Did you know that? It's starting to surpass, well, it has surpassed Easter. It's starting to surpass Christmas. This is in the amount of money that people spend and how many people actually observe it. Isn't that something? I'm waiting for the day when people say All Saints Day is the most important celebration and they pass by Halloween for November 1st. Wouldn't that be something? And so our church fills up because everybody's thinking about heaven and going to heaven. Oh, by the way, really quickly, years and years and years ago, about the time of Martin Luther and before that, guess what people did? They filled up the church on November 1st and October 31st because they were remembering the people that had died and gone to be with the Lord in heaven the year before. And they needed to be comforted. They needed to be strengthened in the fact that their loved ones were in heaven and comforted themselves in knowing that they were going to join them in a place of bliss. And so today I thought what I would do is kind of join together what I received from several of you in the relevancy handout I handed out. Some people had responded, and this was probably the biggest response, was, is there a soul? And then secondly, what happens to the soul upon death? Do those sound like dumb questions to you for us Christians? You know what? I don't think so at all. I don't think so at all. And the reason that I think that is real simple. We're so confused these days. Would you not agree? There's a lot of confusion about the soul, about what happens to the soul upon death. I think about it like this. You know, you're in Las Vegas, and I'm not going to ask how many of you have been in Las Vegas. But anyway, you're driving down Las Vegas, the main street, which is called, see, if you would have given an answer, I would have known if you were there before. So you're driving down the main street, and there's all these neon signs everywhere pointing out all these different casinos and hotels, places of entertainment, and everything's flashing as you drive down, and you're wondering, where should I go? That's life today when it comes to people thinking about the soul and what happens to it after death. Everybody's got something to say, and if people's imaginations are running wild, I've heard so many different things that I can't even comprehend it all. It boggles my mind. And some of you have followed the Facebook page that I have this past week, and you know that each day I put something in that was different about a view of the soul and the soul after death. And I tried to do it all within 6 days. I had to really make it brief, because there's so much out there. I just basically gave you 5 different views. I'm not going to go through the different views today. I'm just going to give you the basics of people's understanding of the soul, our understanding of the soul, life, and life after death. Okay? First of all, I want to say this. There is a soul. Got it? Is that rocket science? There's a soul. So if people ask you, do you have a soul? What would your answer be? There's a caveat. You also have a body. Do you have a body? Okay, here's the thing. The soul and the body go together. In the words of Forrest Gump, like peas and carrots. Okay? Don't forget I said that. Because the soul is not some disembodied, ghostly thing that wants to be or should be separated from the body in any kind of way. All right? So, if you were to talk about me and you were trying to explain who I am, you would explain me in terms of my body and my soul all together. Yeah, the body is pretty easy to describe. Tall, dark, and handsome, right? The soul's a little tougher, but I suppose if you think of the personality of the person, and if they're a Christian, the faith of the person, the demeanor of the person, and how the person you have come to know really, truly is. I suppose you could think of that more as the soul, but you really can't separate what you think of the soul from the body and the body from the soul. Am I going over your head a little bit? See, this is where it starts to get difficult to explain both together. Now, when I say that in the Christian manner, and we talk about life after death, we should understand it in terms of regeneration, because when sin entered the world, sin has diminished, destroyed, even brought to death the body and the soul. So that when God gives rebirth to us, it regenerates and completes once more again, as it should be, body and soul together. So much confusion, though, isn't there? That's because so many, many years ago, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they fell away from what He gave them as their natural knowledge of what body and soul is. And when they fell away and they fell into sin, their understanding of what that really, truly is faded away and has been fading away until this very day. And the more something fades away, the more problems we have and issues we have with understanding what it truly is. And I think that's why we have some of the major confusions that have come along. For example, atheism today has really affected us. When Charles Darwin started to write and complete what he wrote about the evolution of mankind, he was basically saying, we're no different than the animals. And when he said that, people started to think that who we are and what makes us up is no different than any other animal, and therefore we're not endowed specially with something from God. Because remember, when God created us, there was the body, and what did God do? He came along and He breathed into the nostrils His own breath and made Him in His image. That means we're different. That means we're connected to God in a very special way. That means we can have a relationship with Him in ways that animals cannot. We have a sense of being, a consciousness. We have a sense of reason and relationship with one another that's thoughtful and provoked by thought. That makes us special, very special in God's eyes. And in fact, theologians throughout the years have called mankind the crown of God's creation. Crown because God would wear it and show off to all how special it is to have made people. And let me make that more personal, to make you. Primarily special to Him. Now, when we think of it that way, we start to think about the soul and life after death differently. Over the years, some people have even began to create this idea of rebirth and life again. And the reason they did that was something inside their heart started to yearn and cry out. And it was basically the spirit or the soul or the drive of man that God gave him because He gave him that life that he has, that there must be something more than just this life when the body dies. And so we've got all kinds of theories about reincarnation, don't we? You have to be careful, because if you step on a mosquito, you could be interrupting the rebirth cycle of somebody you know very well because their karma was bad. They ended up as a mosquito, and now you stepped on them. Guess where your karma is taking you? See, that's the kind of idea. Part of this other kind of idea is this rebirth, not to any other kind of animal, but you're born and born and born again as a human being. And you're always trying to evolve yourself and improve yourself into a better human being in an, get this, an endless cycle of rebirth. So that's how you get deja vu. Deja vu is this, you know, I was in another life and now I'm remembering it. People believe this about deja vu. My deja vu is simply, I did something, I forgot about it, now I'm remembering it again. See, but some people don't believe that way. They believe deja vu is another lifetime. You know, there was a woman that I would visit and take communion to, and her husband were really concerned about their son one time. And I came to him and I said, well, what's the matter? And they said, well, my son is now involved in Eckankar. You heard an Eckankar? Anybody, raise your hand, Eckankar. Well, I had the same response, Eckankar, what is Eckankar? And this is a religion that has really kind of centered and focused itself in the Twin Cities, St. Paul, Minneapolis. There's a big church there, and it's starting to spread out. This idea that you are born and born and born again, and so the church works on trying to help you improve yourself, and so that in each lifetime, you can be better and better and better, and I would imagine wealthier, more, have more humanity, ethics, and morality. Mix that up with wealth. I don't know how you do it. But that's what Eckankar teaches, is this continual cycle of life. Oh, continual cycle of life, things dying and being reborn. Doesn't that remind you of the Lion King? I mean, it's everywhere out there, isn't it? We can't help but to get away from it. No wonder we as Christians are asking, do we have a soul? And what happens upon the soul? Death. That's why God gave us His Son. And you know what His Son is called? The second Adam. The second Adam. The first Adam sinned and fell into sin and has caused this world to be a mess with so many misunderstandings about who you really are as a person created with body and soul. It's a mess. The second Adam comes along to restore who we are as God's people so that we can understand and be comforted, believe, and be strengthened in the fact that, hey, we were created in God's image. We've been endowed with something very special, the image of God, that we might be able to have a relationship with Him. That's all about the soul. And the soul and the body together can be at joy with God. And so Jesus came, get this, with a real body, not a fake one, a real one. And He came with a real soul, not some ghostly, disembodied kind of spiritual thing, but a real soul that was connected with a real body all together in one person we called Jesus Christ. And there was a reason for that, because He lived His life in passion for you. He died on the cross as a substitute for the sin of your body and soul. When His body died there, He corrected all that is wrong with your body and soul. And when we accept Him as our personal Savior, and we place faith in the fact that this all has been washed away and cleared up by Him, we have newness of life, not just eternally in heaven, but here. And so we have good stewardship for our body and good stewardship for our soul. We care for them as gifts of God for us. Now, of course, the body still dies, doesn't it? So what about the soul? Does it die too? You know how the Bible addresses this? Though the shell of what we know as the body dies, the soul has not left a body. It's brought to life with a body, a new body that cannot perish, die, or fall back into sin. It is confirmed in its bliss and its relationship with God. I don't have answers for everything, and the Bible doesn't try to answer it. Could you imagine how big the Bible would actually be if it would try to answer every question that you have? And some of them would be really good. But the issue isn't to answer every question. The issue of the Bible is to give you comfort and faith in knowing God loves you and cares for you, and you're in His hands, and He works all to the best. So, if you were to ask me about the soul, I'd say yes. Caveat, body and soul. Okay? That I would definitely say. What happens upon death? The soul has a body that cannot perish, die, or fall back into sin. And I wouldn't go any further than that. People might talk about, well, what about the time between the resurrection of the dead and all the bodies that rise and the period of time that you die now? What about that time? And I would say, the Bible doesn't answer that. All I know is body and soul go together. And God has a way of taking care of business that's in our favor. And there we find the good news of Christ and who we are as true Christians. At this time, it won't be up on the screen, but I'm going to read off those that were in our congregation who have passed or died this past year. Florence Cootware, November 19th of 2017. Frank Slayton, May 5th, 2018. Nancy Hagstrom, June 1st of 2018. John, or as we knew him, Jack Guimar, July 14th of 2018. My brother Mike Camphor, August 27th of 2018. Finally, Alan Spencer, October 18th of 2018. Let us pray.